Now we're going to look at the second reading, which is from the first letter to the Corinthians. It's a very short reading, but it embodies a viewpoint that we have to grow into. The text says, "In this I say to you, brothers, the time is running out." Now there's a text like it in Romans 13. Now is the time for you to wake up from sleep. This is part of that beautiful text that converted Augustine, the one in Romans 13, you see. And your salvation is closer than when you first began. Salvation. See, salvation, nowadays we use it, if you're on the street, somebody can say, "Are you saved, brother?" Well, no. Saved means body and soul in heaven forever. That's saved. But you don't tell that to this guy out there preaching. You might say, "No, I'm justified, brother, but I'm not saved yet." But stick it out here. Keep preaching. You're doing a good job. You're telling people about the Lord. Is it exactly the way I do it? No. I did it when I preached in Rome on the streets. But he's out there. Cares about somebody. Enough. We have to get back to work here. So, I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is running out. Now, did Paul think that the end of the world was right around the corner? Probably not. You know, it's not exactly, it means, you know, from now on, let those having wives act as not having them, those weeping as not weeping, those rejoicing as not rejoicing, those buying is not owning. Those using the world is not using it fully. For the world in its present form is passing away. It is. But there's something deeper. In its passing away status, it's just not worth all that trouble. That's what he's saying. You're going to build a world government. You're going to run the world. You're going to be at the top of the heap, huh? And then you're going to die. Then what? And whatever state you put the world in, it's not going to last. It's not going to stay there. The world is a very unstable place. And so he's trying to say, you look for something stable. Now, if you see the whole context, which is quite helpful, you'll see he's talking, well, in the context, he's talking about marriage and virginity. And he's saying, because people, men and women both, wanted to stay virgins. They didn't want to marry, and they thought they were called by God. And they were. Well, what about the married people? Fine, get married. I mean, and Paul, if you read that, we don't have time to do that whole 1 Corinthians 7 text, but it is so nuanced and so beautiful. Marriage is not a concession to those who can't be celibate. Marriage is a separate vocation. And it needs celibacy to prove that marriage is a choice, not a natural necessity. Because you could be celibate by the grace of God. Celibacy enshrines marriage. It's a vocation. You don't have to be married. But then marriage protects celibacy. It's not a cut above the rest. You see, they said of the nuns who were at Port Royal, in the Jansenist nuns in France, they were as pure as angels and as proud as devils. That's not the whole point. That's not it. So Paul is discussing all that here now, you see. Now in regard to the matters in which you wrote, that's verse 1. And of course, we're here starting with verse 7. It is a good thing for a man not to touch a woman, but because of cases of immorality, every man should have his own wife and every woman her own husband. Now, if you just read that, you'd be saying, oh, well, if you can't be celibate, it's all right. You can get married. You're weaker. You can't control yourself. That's not what he means. That's not what he means. One of his primary images for the church in Christ is bride and bridegroom. We are the bride of Christ. I mean, that's the whole... Even when he says we are the body of Christ, as I pointed out before and will point out again, body there means bride. As you find, in, for instance, in Ephesians. When the text speaks of that, we'll take it up. You see? The husband should fulfill his duty toward his wife, and likewise do we... Now, what they're trying to, he's trying to say here is some people get married, and then they think, oh, we should be celibate. So we'll sleep in separate bedrooms, and we'll pray all day, and we'll be married celibates. Once in a while, a couple, usually after having been married for quite a while, not at the beginning, have that call. But most of the time, it's not a call. The problem in doing that is it makes sexuality look like it's second rate. What is the first commandment that God gave to the whole human race? Increase and multiply. The first commandment. If people didn't marry and have children, the place would be pretty lonely after a while. There'd be nobody around. So you have to keep that in mind as he's saying this. But he is trying to say something else as well. We got all these people making, you know, billions of dollars. And some are trying to plan a world government and make everything because, of course, the fairy tales about God and all that, you know, we can forget that. You know, that's, we have got to do it here. Just like the Tower of Babel. You see? And so, those people are wrong. Wake up, folks. This world is going to end. And not only that, but it is going to change drastically and soon. And therefore, don't make your plans based on living 1,000 years. You won't. Nor will the world go on 1,000 years or 100 years in the same way. It's not possible. You see? Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent for a time, to be free for prayer. But then return to one another, so that Satan may not tempt you through your lack of self-control. Now this I say by way of concession, however, not as a command. Indeed, I wish everyone to be as I am, he's celibate. But each has a particular gift from God. Notice that? It's a gift from God to be married. It's a gift. If I had my Greek Bible open, is it charisma? Or is it dora that he uses there? You see what happens after a while? Your memory gets a little bit faulty. So I'm going to have to look it up. Even though I'm taking time, it's kind of important. That line is 7-7. Okay. Charisma, yeah. Allah, ekastos idionechi charisma et deu. Everyone has their own charisma from God, their own gift. You have a gift to be married. I have a gift to be celibate. And we build one another up. If everybody were celibate, it'd be the end of the world. But if everybody were married, because the purpose of being celibate, being single, is not that you get more work done. You might not, you know. Sometimes I read at the preface of a book, I want to thank my lovely wife, Joan, who's gone through this whole book and corrected it and made the index. And I said, bah, I should have got married. Who's doing all that for me? You see? I'm only laughing. But you see what I mean? No, it's not because it's more efficient. It's because it's more heavenly. It's more God-directed on this earth. Because after all, in heaven for eternity, we're all going to be celibate. But God doesn't want that now. He wants a world of people who are conceived and born and raised to know and love Him and praise Him and to be with Him forever in heaven. He wants heaven full. So He wants parents then and to raise their children, not kill them in the womb, raise them so that heaven will be full. That's the whole point. So you see, Paul is writing that in his own way, you see? And so he says there, I'm looking now for to find out exactly how they translate it. Oh, here it is, right in front of me. See, having wives, weeping is not weeping. In other words, the things that impact us day by day have to be seen in the light of your eternal vocation and the world's eternal vocation. We know Jesus Christ, the living, eternal Son of God, who became man, is alive. He is alive. He rose from the dead and broke the back on death. Otherwise, this whole thing would be a cruel joke. Living, working, trying hard, and facing extinction at the end of it. That's why Jesus said when he first came into the apostles, Shalom, peace. That's not the situation. You're called. So, if you're called, then make sure you listen to the Lord and do what He wants you to do. You see, let those having wives act as not having them. That doesn't mean throw them out the door. Those weeping, in other words, all these things that mean a lot on this earth, and they do, have to be seen in the light of our eternal vocation. Don't get so fixated here. But you see, if you don't know the Lord, and if you don't know His resurrection, what have you got? You've got an endless, frustrating, doomed to failure struggle against death. That's all you got. What does that breed in people? An anger. An anger. No matter what I do, I'm going to die. You know, at the big rock, heavy rock concerts, I don't know, still, you see, they have like tripled or quadrupled the police force. Why? Because that kind of music stirs up that anger. That anger, I am going to die. Life is a joke. And I get furious, and so I kill people. Or a soccer game, 50 people stomped to death. Why are people going berserk? Because of despair. This is one big joke. You know? I'm going to die, and I'm afraid to die, and I'm finished. There's no more. Do you see what a grace the faith is to know that Jesus Christ is living, eternal, with us, feeds us on His body and blood, and we're going to be with Him forever? That's why the time is short. Because the rest of our existence is so long. So don't get caught up in this stuff. And more than that, help people who are caught up. Preach to them. Tell them. This isn't all we got, you know. Jesus rose from the dead, and He wants to bring you with Him. You know, give your life over to Him. Begin to believe in Him. Repent for your sins, and get ready to live with Him forever. That's what He's telling us, huh? I think it would have been a good idea to give more of this text than these few verses that are given here. You know, they're only given 3 verses. But we can talk about them because the time is short. You see, the world in its present form is passing away. And that is, if that's all you got, you've got to be angry. Why was I conceived? Why am I walking around this earth? Why am I so worried about everything? It's all going to end and it's becoming a big black hole and I'm finished. That's why people are angry and they don't face that. But it takes something like a rock concert or everybody's emotions stirred at a soccer game to bring out that anger and it just explodes. Lord, have mercy on us. Give us your grace and help us, Lord, those who know a little bit, to tell others the time is short.